Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
So, good afternoon. I've had problems getting into the show. I think we're live and I think Kat's there. Hi Kat, you there?
Hello, hi, how are you doing?
Oh, you're there having a heart attack probably. I was also having a heart attack. So, yes. So welcome everyone to show 229, which is live, and I literally just got in 20 seconds after it started because my phone wouldn't work, so I had to call it on my mobile. It's all very traumatic. But anyway, this is show 229, the importance of employee engagement in the future of work, and clearly we're going to be talking about the future of work and the future of employee engagement, discussing the key threats and opportunities. So I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm an employee engagement and productivity consultant working with the Engage for Success movement, leading on digital. And the Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there's a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, and we're widely supported across the UK involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, engagesuccess.org, you can use the link at the top to join our newsletter list. We usually mail out on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, or sometimes even Sunday, depending on my work-life integration. if you tweet, then share your thoughts using our hashtag, which is #E4S with the number 4. And also you can go to LinkedIn and do a search for Engage Success and join our LinkedIn group. And all our social media links are at the top of our homepage, and there's also a banner at the top of the homepage now to enable you to book for our conference, which is next year. We were talking about that on last week's show with Kathy. If you want to book, then just go to the homepage, engagesuccess.org, and you'll see the banner and you'll be able to get through to the conference booking from there. So my guest today, who hopefully has calmed down a bit now I'm actually here, is Kat Bernard from Working the Future, and we're going to be talking a bit about the future and technology as well. So good that the technology is working so well. Not. So welcome, Kat. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I'll warn you, the next thing is I only got 22% on my mobile, so this will be interesting because I can't have my headset and my charger in at the same time. So we'll see how we go.
Oh, okay.
We'll just carry on as a monologue, will it?
Yeah, give it our best shot.
Lovely. So start by telling us a bit more about you and about Working the Future and what you do.
Okay, thank you. So Working the Future, we are a consultancy and we work with predominantly UK SMEs to help business leaders understand the key challenges, the key themes that are coming down the track in respect of the future of work and how their workplaces are likely to be disrupted. And then we work with those same leaders to put in place what we like to call future-proof people strategies. So looking at ways in which those organisations can continue to thrive in the future of work in spite of the various risks and challenges.
Mm-hmm. Carry on.
No. I was going to say, I'm very aware that the future of work is becoming a very on-trend topic of conversation, and it seems that not a day goes by without seeing that there's, a conference here or a seminar there. And I think it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, depending on which discipline you're looking at. So what we try and do is take a holistic view of the landscape and really put people at the heart of that, using our common purpose, really, is that people get most of their sense of meaning and their sense of purpose from their workplaces. So, we do what we can to help businesses understand that and hopefully, continue to engage with humans and people to thrive in an increasingly disruptive landscape.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, as you say, that there's always sort of stuff in the news and it's being discussed all the time about the changing nature of work. And, you know, we certainly got together to have a prep conversation for this call and, you know, spent as long talking about it as we're going to spend today. And I'm sure we'll be able to say completely different things as well. So what we thought would be useful was for you to sort of, you know, frame where our conversation is today, as you said, so that you know, we're all sort of talking in terms of the future of work for the purposes of this conversation, knowing that, as you say, it's a much wider topic and very much dependent on sort of perspective. So where's our perspective today as far as how the future of work is developing from what you see?
Okay. So if you look at the disruptive forces, first and foremost, I think that it's probably without question the most disruptive force that will impact on the workplace is technology and the advance of technology and the evolving capability of technology to perform human functions. And so we can look at that in very basic form of software being written to perform hitherto human functions across all lines of work. And we can look further down the track at the arrival of fully automated software and fully automated artificial intelligence to assume human tasks. That's one key aspect. And that is, for my money, that's the aspect that's never out of the news. There is another theme under the future of work umbrella, which is that gradually as workers, we are moving towards increased self-employment. There's been various reports written around the rise of self-employment as being majoritatively driven by millennials who are seeking more variety and more learning opportunity and just wanting far more flexibility in how they work. We would throw into the mix the possibility, and it's a very real possibility, that the state pension is soon not going to be in a position to support the number of people it needs to support. And I suspect there will be an increased burden in due course on the private sector, which will push out the responsibility further, I suspect, onto the individual. So that's another theme that's impacting. There is an increase, I think there will continue to be an increase in remote working and how people either choose to connect to their workplaces or are restricted in connecting to their workplaces as we go into the future. We'll start to experience in real terms the impact of resource depletion on our transportation systems. So there's a whole load of stuff, Joe, a whole load of stuff, which actually, if you look at it as one lump sum, it's quite frightening and quite overwhelming. But here's the thing that we wholeheartedly believe. If we go down the avenue of a more automated future, as human beings, I think there's a couple of things. Human beings crave connection with one another. It's kind of hardwired into our DNA. And I suspect that, you know, as consumers, we will start to insist upon experiencing a more human interaction when we make our buying choices. And that will obviously knock on into our workplaces because, you know, organizations that want to continue to be commercial in the future of work and commercially successful, they will recognize that there needs to be a human interaction taking place. So in as much as I foresee a massively disruptive work landscape emerging, I also see that there's a great opportunity for humans, people, workers, whatever we want to call them, to connect into workplaces and actually potentially get the engagement that they've been striving for such a long time. Does that make sense?
So lots of potential, you say, to be sort of quite traumatized about the future, but then on the other hand, see the real opportunity. I think it's interesting. I personally keep being happy that my young daughter is good with empathy and emotional intelligence, because I think how
absolutely
it's going to be moving forward.
and absolutely to that point, I think.
I was just going to say that the whole thing you were just saying about craving connection and craving more human buying opportunities is actually quite the opposite to what we've expected in recent years and the way that things have gone. But I recently was recommended a book called The Revenge of Analog, which is talking about people buying real things as opposed to buying digital things. I haven't read the book, so I can't go into any more detail than that. But I think it's interesting that with the way that everything's moving so quickly, we're almost going, we've gone real tech, and now we're almost going back to real people as much and as quickly as it's gone the other way. But should we talk a bit more about that and therefore how that sort of impacts us as employers?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, if we each of us assume two hats, one that of worker and the other of consumer, you know, the one thing when you hear about these large scale debates about the rise of the robots and technology and so on and so forth, and you start to tune into debates around the potential idea that in the future none of us will need to work and we'll all draw a universal basic income and so on and so forth, you know, the one thing that seems to be missing from that puzzle, for my money, is the idea that, you know, if there's no more work in the future, then there's no more pay packets. And if there's no more pay packets, then actually, as consumers, we can't spend. So the economy fundamentally grinds to a halt, which kind of, for me, negates the kind of selling point around technology. You know, in order for markets to thrive, you need buyers. And then if you look at the profile of how buyers are starting to change their spending habits, starting to see an emergence of people buying not just based on price, but on quality and on provenance and on the entire experience. So probably a really straightforward example would be the rise of craft beers. Camera fought for years and years to try and promote craft beers, and all of a sudden in the last 5 years craft beers have become super popular, and actually there's kind of an experience associated with buying those beers. I don't know whether it's the same in your town, Joe, but certainly where I live, we've seen craft beer shops popping up, and I think it's quite a particular demographic, although not limited to the same demographic. People go in and they want to experience the whole nine yards of, you know, tasting a flight of beers and understanding how those beers were made and what went into that process and so on. And I think that and there's certainly sort of research data emerging to say that actually, you know, people are starting to push back against mass consumption and spend their money instead on experiences. So there is this rise of experientialism, which is that people would rather collect memories and just experience different things rather than same old buying and accumulating and ending up with a house full of stuff, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if you then follow that through, for my money, here's the thing that will start to happen in our workplaces. You know, technology marches on, the pace of technology evolution becomes quicker and quicker each month, each quarter, each year. And actually, you know, whereas right now, organizations are probably able to differentiate based on the technology that they're deploying, there is an argument to suggest that in the future of work, technology will evolve so fast and also be so low cost and so ubiquitous that actually technology will no longer provide any business with its competitive edge. There's an argument that businesses are going to have to become far, far, far more connected with their customer base in order to really, truly understand the wants and needs of their customers and listen to those customers in almost perpetual feedback loops to be able to provide highly tailored, highly bespoke products and services. And simply put, a machine is not going to be able to capture that information and translate it into that highly bespoke customer experience. So that, for me, is exactly the sweet spot where people, workers, employees, whatever their employment status happens to be in the future, that's the point at which they will be able to, I think, perform the work that actually we en masse have wanted to perform over the last 20 or 30 years, where we've wanted to have a higher meaning and a higher purpose in our work, and we've wanted to make a difference. And I think that that connection point between customer and employee / worker, that will provide the opportunity. I also think that because the landscape commercially is becoming so disruptive, it will no longer be the case that certain people within the organization set the strategy and certain people, you know, speak to the customers and certain people sit in the back office having no interface with the outside world. I think that actually successful businesses in the future will need to have a very open, receptive, highly communicative internal environment, and every single person within that organization, their eyes and ears will matter in terms of being able to define what products and services will most appeal to the target customer audience.
It's interesting, when I first started looking back at employee engagement, having left the sort of HR sector for a while and started my own business, I'd come from social media when it was the early days of social media, and I truly believe that engaging our employees, given I had a retail background, was actually about engaging them with the customer, which, you know, is sort of what we're saying, isn't it, that's actually, you know, where we're going even further. And I think it was always obvious to me, because of retail and having that customer right in your face, that, you know, that was how it should be. But, you know, companies that are perhaps less sort of customer focused or a B2B hasn't been so obvious. But, you know, what you've just said actually just makes it really seem very simple that, of course, you know, that you can see that happening. But as you say, the customer becomes more important, and you know, everyone is connected to the customer because there's that visibility that we didn't used to have, which then gives everybody that sort of that voice and that opportunity. So
yeah,
more about that meaning and purpose piece, because that is something that gets talked about with the millennials all the time, and I would maintain that we've always wanted meaning and purpose in our jobs. We've just not had a society or a sort of work environment where it's been that possible in the past, perhaps, and you know, society's changing now.
So I definitely think that, you know, ultimately, even if some of us aren't able to articulate it, we all crave meaning and purpose in our lives. And, you know, in times gone by, we may have derived that from our communities or from, you know, religious institutions and so on. But there seems to have been, you know, with the advent of the digital age, there seems to have been, in parallel with that and perhaps as a backlash of that, sort of a kind of breakdown of community structures. And I think that, you know, socioeconomically, politically at the moment, we're sailing in some fairly uncharted territories. I think that's probably safe to say. And actually, that's the point at which, whether we can articulate it or not, and whether we're consciously aware of it or not, that's the point at which we start to, as humans, crave that meaning and purpose and sense of belonging, and so on. I think that, so there's been some really interesting conversations around millennials this year, and I'm sure many slash most people who have an interest in that area will have seen the Simon Sinek YouTube videos and so on. So I agree with what he said up to a point about, you know, millennials wanting, you know, millennials being much more vocal and so on. But I kind of think, well, actually, you know what? I think every demographic cohort wants similar things. But I, you know, I say fair play if anybody's actually gone out there and shouted for it. I think that in the short to medium term, we will continue to see skills shortages, chronic skills shortages, particularly in, you know, the digital domain and so on. And organisations will have to provide a far more compelling proposition to workers in order to try and remain relevant in that race for critical talent. So, you know, you've got workers who are increasingly seeking meaning and purpose in their work. And actually, I think there were some studies earlier this year that said that millennials in particular, some studies were undertaken saying, you know, that actually meaning and purpose was more important than final pay packet, which I thought was really, really interesting. So, you know, I think what's going to happen is that potentially, you know, people will, there's going to be kind of an about face where actually people are driving the socio-cultural changes, which actually then impact on the workplaces. So instead of how we've seen traditionally, you know, organizations operating a top-down approach to, you know, their hierarchies and their sort of modus operandi and the way that they run and operate, actually I think that there's going to be an about face and workers are going to start dictating the terms, which will be a massive, or will take a massive mindset shift for business leaders who've hitherto been used to calling the shots, if that makes sense.
So we, as usual, the show's sort of galloping through. We've got about 6.5 minutes.
Oh gosh, really?
What can organisations be doing and thinking about now to sort of prepare themselves for this future and the opportunity? You know, we've talked about engaging people, you know, forever. You know, how can we really make it land in organisations, bearing in mind these changes that are coming?
So in a nutshell, I would recommend that any organisation that wants to remain relevant and operational, bottom line, Joe, any organisation needs to start looking at the future of work and looking at how they are likely to be impacted by the technology changes, the socio-cultural changes, the change, the trend towards self-employment and more fragmented transient workforces, and look at what they, within their individual culture and environment, what they want to do. So almost like an just forward thinking, imagination, almost like a role play. What kind of organization do you want to be in 3 to 5 years time? How important are your people to you? How are you going to set about making sure that you've got the right people in place? What are the kind of strategies that you're going to adopt to make sure that you have got the right people in place to make sure your business is a success? So there's quite a lot of talk out there about building entire ecosystems around workplaces so that, you know, organizationally, you can tap into the right resources when you need them on an on-demand basis. And bottom line, I feel very strongly that those kind of ecosystems get built through constant positive communication, which, as we know, actually underpins meaning, values and purpose in work and drives the whole agenda of employee engagement through.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you're still there. I suddenly thought, I heard a little blip and I thought, I wonder whether she's gone. I wonder whether the battery died.
Yeah. No, actually, I haven't even checked the battery. We're at 18%. It's not as bad as before.
Oh, good. Good. Does that make sense to you? That actually, you know, I think for me right now, and this is what we're saying to the customers that we work with, right, let's get all of this dark, miserable, grim stuff out on the table. Let's get it out there and then let's just look at it and then let's just process what that means. Because these are significant changes. These are big, big changes. And I don't think that decisions can be made, you know, overnight. They really need careful consideration. But I absolutely remain convinced that in order to remain commercially successful, the relationship between the organization and their customer base, that will be the key piece. And there's no way that, you know, there's no way that technology is going to become that clever and that intelligent that it can perform that function, that listening function, that feedback function. So therein lies the opportunity for humans, really. And, you know, if I was running my own business right now, that's what I'd be looking at, is the piece where the business connects with its customer segment.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you say, where that is the advantage. Yeah.
And to your point about the retail sector, I mean, the retail sector has always been up close and personal with its customers. You know, if it's not connecting with its customers, it's dead in the water. So that same principle absolutely follows through, whether it's B2B or otherwise. I think that is absolutely the MO to be looking at.
And I suppose you could also look at it, you know, all this technology should actually be freeing us up to spend that time being real people with each other. That's the advantage of it, as opposed to negatively thinking that robots are going to, you know, rule the world. Actually,
yeah,
you know, they could allow people to have people interactions, which sounds like a positive thing to me.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we may be workers and we may be somewhat vulnerable to decisions that are made around us, you know, and so on, but equally we are consumers and we do get to choose how we want to engage with that technology. And if, as a consumer, I would prefer to make a good old-fashioned telephone call to a customer service agent and connect rather than have some kind of automated interaction with a chatbot, then, you know, that's my choice. And I'm pretty certain that many people will ultimately, you know, there may be some dark moments where people don't realize what it is that they're missing in terms of that human connection. But I think that, you know, we've got the option to craft our own futures in this regard and craft the futures that make us happiest.
Lovely. Well, thank you. That's the end of the show. We got through it. We didn't lose the technology or the phone line, so that's a good thing. I really appreciate you joining me today, Kat. It's been a really interesting conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it too. Thank you for having me.
Lovely. And just to let you know, I'll be back again next week talking to Daniel Murphy. I haven't had the details for the show page, so I can't tell you what we're talking about yet. So that's exciting. You have to tune in to find out. I'll catch you next week.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice. for people who believe there's a better way to work.